Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here. Today we've got a fun episode. I've got Kim Collins with us and Jessica. Go ahead, Kim, and kind of explain a little bit. We're trying to have the Beast Report and the podcast kind of go together. So go ahead and explain to everyone, Kim, kind of what the Beast Report is.
Great. Hi, Mike. Yes, the Beast Report is something that we started at the end of the year last year, and it was made to really highlight our Beast members and to really highlight one a month. And, you know, so you can get to know them a little bit better, know what they're about, and it's just really a lot of fun. And we thought, hey, you know, we have the podcast. Why don't we just do both at the same time, really dive in, really get to know this person. And, you know, the personality comes out in audio and everything, so just thought we'd have a lot of fun with that. And the Beast Report, we have expanded it a little bit. We do add some nutrition, and we always have a fun food of the month. And then Joe Loomis has also included some information on flexibility and mobility and different topics like that. So it's been a lot of fun. And next year we may expand it a bit more in addition.
That's cool. I mean, that's one of the things that I've loved so much about the Beast, especially in the last year or something. I mean, we've had the podcast comes up, the Beast Report. We're doing more and more to try and get everybody to know how great some of these members are. So, I mean, it's awesome that we get to highlight these people, and I think it's fun to be able to highlight them twice. We highlight them in the Beast Report, and then we bring them on the podcast and highlight them again. So,
absolutely.
So, like I was kind of telling you guys a little bit, I was going to have you go ahead and kind of introduce Jessica and kind of ask her the questions that you pretty much ask on the Beast Report, and then we'll basically spend some time and just get to know Jessica.
Sounds great. So Jessica has been a member for some time now. She's a great athlete, and, you know, she's amazing at the OCRs.
Yes.
She draws people in. I see her all the time saying, hey, you know, if you want to run this, come with me. You know, we'll go together. So she's, you know, just a great team member, you know, someone you can always ask questions, and she's totally involved. She is also about to do a physique contest, which is crazy amazing, and I know Jessica's been working so hard for this, and it really shows. If you follow her, you can see just the transformation, and it's really exciting. So anyway, maybe I'll just start with the questions that we asked for the Beast Report and go from there.
All right, that sounds great. To kind of go off what you said, I mean, yeah, I've been friends with Jessica on Facebook for a while. I'm following her, and it's a true inspiration just to see how much she's changed, physically and emotionally and mentally. And I mean, not to say she wasn't positive before, but I mean, everything on her page just screams positivity and like, get out there, do what you can do, and better yourself. And it's awesome. So, yeah.
Totally, yep. Excitement and passion. Love it. So, Jessica, we'll start with the first one. What was your first OCR race, and what made you decide to try it?
The very first OCR race that I tried was actually the Warrior Dash. And the reason why I tried that one was because of the gym that I currently was going to. One of the trainers and my friend had been doing OCR for a couple of years before that, and he kind of talked me into doing it because he saw that I was needing a little bit more of an edge to my physical capabilities. So went out there with a group of fresh people, and all of us had never done it before except for Jeremy, and he kind of led us through the course, and it was sucky. It was hard. There was a lot of sand running, and we all were like, this is the worst thing in the world, but we made it through, and we did it with laughing and helping each other out. And once I finished that and I got that silly little medal and that hat that they put on everybody out there with the horns on it, I was hooked. I was like, okay, I felt defeated. I felt beaten down a little bit, and I hate feeling that way. So I was like, okay, when's the next one? What's the next one we can do? How do I push myself even harder, and how do I prep for this even better?
Oh, I love it. What was your second one?
It was actually the Spartan Sprint in Washougal. I did that with my brother, and we just kind of blindly decided to drive down to Portland that same week. I was like, let's go do the sprint. I don't know what it is, but we're going to go do it together. And so we drove down there and got our butts kicked even harder than the other one. And so that one was quite terrifying, and we failed so many obstacles. And I can't even tell you how many burpees we did, but it was, I think, probably 90% of the obstacles we did burpees on. So it was really long.
That's a big jump to go for that for your second one. So that's kudos, boy.
Yeah, but I kind of do that. I kind of just blindly jump into stuff. I'm like, all right, let's just go. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know anything about it, but let's just do it and see what happens.
I love it.
That's the best way to do things.
It really is, I tell you, because if you study too much, then you get freaked out and you don't do it. So I'm like, let's just do it.
I agree. I mean, like I told so many people, my first Spartan was the Montana Beast in 2015.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That was my first, like, go into Spartan, and everyone's like, why? And I'm like, because I didn't research. I did no research. I was like, Spartan sounds fun. Let's go do this one in Montana. Yeah. Nobody told me that the difference between a beast and a super and a sprint. I'm like, whatever. It'll be fine. I've done a half marathon. I'll be good.
Right.
Yeah. Like, 8 hours later, this was stupid. I should have really researched.
Yeah.
But I think if I had researched and like looked it up and looked what it really was, I don't think I ever would have done it. I would have been like, oh, no, that's too hard. I ain't doing that. So
that's why I don't research. Yeah. I let other people talk me into stuff. They're like, oh, you can do it. I know you can. I'm like, all right. And then I sign up and then I research afterwards. And I'm like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, I think, like, I would say, like, 60%, at least 60% of Spartans, if they had researched before they did it, would have never done it.
I agree, 100%.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, so, I guess the next is, how has OCR helped you overcome challenges?
So, OCR, to me, opened up things with me when it comes to the mental capabilities that I have. I mean, our mind goes first, right? When we get to something and it becomes really hard, it's not the physical part that gives up. It's our mind that goes first. And so OCR has taught me a lot about myself, a lot of good and a lot of bad. But it has shown me that if I really, really want something hard enough, I can do it. I just have to believe, I have to see it, I have to visualize it, and I have to put forth the actual effort to finish it and complete it and not walk away. Too many people do that. They see something or they get involved with it and it gets too hard and their mind starts to go and they just give up and they don't even try to complete things. And I was one of those people for a long time. So OCR has fixed me in that way of showing me that, yes, you can. And it's changed me, too, with the way that I talk with people as well. It's such a huge community environment, and I love that. I love being around people, and it gets me so excited, and it makes me want to do better, so that way I can inspire other people to do better as well. So their little steps and their little, you know, victories are my victories in a way, even if I don't know them. So it's definitely helped me a lot with the mental capabilities that I thought I could never do. And to more crazier events that I do now.
Oh, I love it. And that is a huge thing to overcome. And like you said, the community and all of that is just amazing.
Yeah, and like I said before we started. Like I said before we started, I mean, just seeing how much, like, I mean, like I said, not to say you weren't positive before, but the positivity that, like, screams from your Facebook page is, like, you can't even be negative. It's like the Care Bears with the Care Bear stare. I mean, it's just like, so.
It becomes infectious, right?
It does.
It makes you a better person inside and out. And you want those things for other people, too. So, I'm totally anti-negative on my feeds at all. And I don't tolerate it if somebody starts posting anything negative to me. I just delete it. I'm like, it's not happening, and that's not what this is about.
And that's awesome. So, the only thing I do have to say is I think we all three just aged ourselves because I mentioned the Care Bears and you both knew what I was talking about. So, just saying.
Yep. The Care Bear cousins were even better.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Well, so you touched a bit about the OCR community, and what do you love most about it?
The people. I love the people. I love that you can go to any of these events. It doesn't matter which one it is, and it's all different types of people. I mean, it doesn't matter how rich, how poor, if you're white, black, what your background is, where you are now in your life. Everybody comes there for one purpose, to get to that finish line and to get that medal and to work as a team. And that's what I love about OCR. That's what I love about Beast OCR, is that all these people from mixing pots around the world that all come to this one tiny little place for just a few hours, and we all are one person. And that, to me, is the most amazing thing to be around, is that there's all hatred. Everything in your life just goes out the window, and you're there, and you're focused, and you're laughing, and you're with other people who just want to complete something and want to feel good about themselves. And that's what you find at any of these events. It's never negative.
And that's what's awesome.
I love it. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. So, I mean, everyone's always building each other up and helping each other get better. It's very rare that you see someone being negative about somebody. They're like, hey, great job. Good job getting out there and killing it. I mean, we have people from, you know, like Ryan Poland and you and other people that are actually, like, competitive out there racing. Mm-hmm. And then there's people like me that are, I'm just trying to finish it. But nobody looks at us any different.
I'm just trying to finish it, too. Don't worry.
But, I mean, there's nobody judges us any differently. I mean, it's...
No.
We're all out there. We're running the same race. I mean, if Ryan needs help, you're going to help Ryan. If I need help, you're going to help me.
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't...
Yeah.
There is...
Stopping.
Which stalled team.
I'm not worried about timing. I'm not worried about the time. I mean, yes, I love to compete, too. I love that edge, and I like that excitement. But if I see somebody who needs help, I'm not going to just pass them by. I'm going to stop and be like, hey, would you like me to help you? You know, like, that's what it's about. Like, you don't leave somebody stranded. You don't leave a fallen comrade behind.
Nope.
You know? Like, the warrior ethos.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Well, is there anyone in particular who inspires you?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
It is.
It's a tough one, I know.
I have a lot of people that inspire me. I mean, one that's going to sound kind of goofy is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love him. I idolize him. I think that he is fantastic. I love watching him just grow throughout his career and start off small, this puny little guy, and he just built himself up, and he had these amazing rules to his life that if you want it, you do it, you plan for it, there are no excuses, and like you hold the key to your happiness and to where you want to be at. So as far as like celebrities go, he is somebody that I idolize, especially in the bodybuilding community. And he still does. I mean, he's still rocking out with those workouts all the time. I think it's amazing. And I hope to God that when I'm like 86 years old, that I'm still rocking out a nice little body on me as well.
Yeah.
Of course, my husband and my children, they always inspire me as well. But I have to say probably the biggest people that inspire me are my clients. When they come in to the gym, they leave everything behind. And they just put forth 100% effort every time with me. And they're always in there with a positive attitude. And they never doubt anything I say. And they inspire me. When I watch them triumph, I'm triumphing. I'm progressing in life because of them. So my clients are the reason why I wake up in the morning and I go to work smiling. And the reason why I leave work still smiling. I mean, it's just an amazing community of people. And I probably wouldn't be where I am without them, honestly.
It's awesome.
That's so great, Joy. I love what you do, you know, and
how that was coming out
here. No?
Yeah.
Aww. So, do you have a favorite obstacle course racing memory?
Yes, I do. And so, it's not really a nice one, but it's the most memorable one that has stuck with me, and it was recent. It was this year, but it was during April in Seattle, and I had been talked into doing this just a regular hurricane heat on top of doing the super and the sprint. And then, of course, two other guys decided to kind of plant the seed that I could do more and do a quad shot, which was the hurricane 12, the super, the hurricane heat, and then the sprint. And that'd be Adam and Dave Bax. they kept taunting me. They're like, oh, we'll get you a free beanie, and oh, you could do it, Jessica. You'll be with us, and let me get you this really cool balls deep red shirt if you come and complete it. And I'm a sucker for swag, so I got talked into it, and I don't know if you guys were there in April, but it was horrible, and it was cold, mm-hmm. and it was rainy, and I had never done a Hurricane 12, and I didn't realize that halfway through, you're on your own, like you have your own thing to do by yourself, and have to be time hacks and all this kind of stuff, so I got almost all the way through and ended up getting disqualified because I didn't meet a time hack about 3 hours shy of us ending. And so, like, I laid in my car, and I was watching all the people just get knocked out left and right, and me and Adam and Ron all decided that we were going to run the super together because we were just beaten down. We were a little disappointed. We got all disqualified, and we were cold and hungry and wet, and, you know, I was like, we should just run together because we're already in kind of a funk, and might as well just run together, you know, keep each other going. And that super was the most miserable super I think I've ever done in my entire OCR life.
It was just a little wet.
It was long, and I was shaking so hard because I was so cold, and I don't know if you guys know me very well, but I don't wear long sleeves, and I like to wear tank tops, so that was probably a big mistake to wear that. And half, I mean, the first part of it, it was Ron and Adam, and even Eric, he was with us too, kind of like being the positive, like, we got this, guys, and they were keeping me going, and then halfway through, they were starting to shut down, because we were just like, we can't complete these obstacles, we're freezing, we're starving, we're tired, we're cramping, and we had to do so many burpees in the rain, and then I was like, I had this trigger moment, I was like, okay, they need me now to be the stronghold, so I then would start saying positive things to them, like, we got this, guys, we're like halfway there, that's nothing, it's a cakewalk for us, I mean, come on now, we were all out there last night, or this morning, in the cold weather, pulling a sled behind us in the muddy marshes, way back in the hills, you know, we can complete this, and we got towards the end, and I tell you what, when we saw that fire jump, I think all of us, harmoniously, like, all of that mind connected, and we just start smiling so hard because we had made it through almost 12 hours in the rain and then doing the super within like 4 hours of that with no sleep. And that fire jump was the most glorious thing and the most welcomed warm heat ever in any of the history of OCR for us. And we were all smiling ear to ear through that picture. And it was probably one of my favorite photos that we got of ourselves too. And it just shows you that you can do it, and of course you're going to have those moments where you feel weak and you feel like you can't, but the people that are around you are the people that are going to help you get through it, just like you're going to help them get through it too. So by far, April's misery was probably my favorite memory. It will forever be in my heart, always.
Oh yeah, that was
that
a fun course. That was one that
was a miserable course.
You know the hill on the backside? That really nasty hill? That yeah. We got to that point because this was Benton's first super. He'd done Washougal 2 years, but he'd never done a super. So that's his first super, which is just a muddy, sloppy mess, right? We get to that point, and mind you, Benton, everyone who doesn't know Benton, Benton's 16 years old. He's my son. He turns and looks at me and just, as we hit that hill, and he's looking up the hill, and he looks at me, and he's just like, fuck you, Dad. And I just gotta wait. Well, I'm going to let you get away with that one because I kind of feel the same way right now. So, yeah,
it was
just
so
like,
bad.
Oh.
It was horrible. Oh, my gosh.
I was surprised I talked him into doing the beast. I was like, you've already done a super and you've done the sprint. You might as well do the beast. And he's like, no, I ain't, not after what that super was like. And I'm like, the beast is easier than the super. And he's like, there's no way.
The beast was definitely easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way easier.
And then we did it and he's like, you're right. It was easier.
I think that was, like they said, was like one of the wettest and coldest that they had there at that particular venue. So it was miserable.
Unfortunately, we didn't
do the hurricane heat. We all agreed that we were just too beaten, and we'd just come back together on for the next day for the sprint to complete the sprint. So we didn't make the quad shot, but, oh, man,
but you tried.
April. We tried.
We sure did. That's one of the things. I think that's the hardest thing for, like, me is, you know, really getting to that point. Like, I DNF'd in Hawaii. That's the only time I've ever DNF'd, and it killed me.
Yeah.
is to DNF or to finally to look at myself and look in the mirror and say, my body's destroyed. I need to take a break. You know, and that was me. That was me after the beast this year in Montana. I was destroyed. And I went to get up the next morning and I'm like, I can't do this. It's like, my body's, there's no way. I'm like, if I go out and do this, I'm taking the chance that I'm not going to be able to race the rest of the year because I'm going to hurt something bad. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think like when we first started that super together, like Adam and Ron, you know, they were trying to keep that good mentality going. They're like, oh, we got the hurricane heat, guys. We're going to destroy that next one. We're going to get to the super. And then we got towards the end, they started asking me, they're like, hey, JM, so what do you think about that hurricane heat? And I was like, do you want me just to call it for us, guys? Because I'm going to tell you right now, honestly, like, I'll do it. If you tell me to let's do it, like, heck yeah, we'll have to go from the super right over to our cars to get our backpacks. I'm like, but honestly, I think we're pretty beaten up. And I think that it's okay that we're not going to be able to go there and do it. And I could see relief on their face when I said it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be the mom. I'll say, let's not do it. That's what you need.
And sometimes you do need that. I mean, it's one of those things you keep telling yourself in your brain. You're like, yeah, I shouldn't do this. But you kind of need that, you know, that other person to tell you.
I was disappointed. I was like, I think I could have done it. But then I thought, you know, like the physical part of it, I was like, I probably would have hurt something. Yeah. And I probably would have been out for a whole season. And it was a smart choice for all of us to make, so.
And it is, and I think it shows that we're, I don't want to say getting older, but getting wiser. Because, you know.
We're more aware of the repercussions to those things.
Yeah. And I think it is, you know, it's the bad decisions 20 years ago why my knees don't work right, you know, and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm getting older. I can't recover from that like I used to. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jessica, you have something really exciting coming up in just a couple weeks, and you're competing in your first physique competition, and so tell us about it. I mean, you've been preparing, what goes into that, and, you know, getting ready for it. I mean, the clothing, the music, you provide your own music, all the little details that go into making it all come together.
It's a lot. Like, I never really realized how much there was going into doing one of these. And, you know, like, I'm doing this for a couple different reasons. I'm doing one to show my daughter that women that go up on stage that are in these suits aren't doing it to get attention. They're not going up there. It's not like a girls gone wild. These women are working hard. Their workouts are grueling, their dieting is grueling. It takes a lot to get into these competitions and to get up there and feel confident and beautiful in front of people they don't know. And then I also have clients who are interested in doing this, and I could train them to do these things, but it wouldn't be right for me to train them if I have never experienced it before in my life. I need to know what these women are going through. I need to know all of it. So, the guy that I work with at the gym, he happens to do all this training, so he kind of was like, you can do this, and I know you can, and I'll be right there to guide you. So it's a lot. Like, there is workout programming that you have to follow, and you have to eat very specifically. You know, the first part of my transformations was the bulking, and that was like December, January, February. I did a lot of, like, heavy powerlifting to get my muscles big, and I put on a little weight because of that, but I needed to do that, and I got to eat, you know, higher calories. As you progress through the months and it gets closer and closer, you go through, like, your strength phase, your endurance phase, and then you get into your hypertrophy phase. So all these phases they start off with lower reps and heavier weight, and then it starts to get into a little bit lighter weight and higher reps. And then you get to the phase where I'm at right now, where it's just, we're not trying to destroy the muscles anymore. Now we're just burning the fat around the muscle to make the muscle pop out even more. The dieting part of it is crazy, but luckily I have fantastic coaches right there by my side to help me out. And I follow the vertical diet, which is a bodybuilding diet. And it pretty much consists of, like, chicken, steak, white rice, sweet potatoes, eggs, all almonds, unsweetened cranberry juice, orange juice, and carrots and spinach, and that's all I get to eat. So it's the same thing every single day for months. Like, I have not had a cheeseburger or pizza or any of that stuff for probably about 4 months now. So it really takes a lot of mental strength to fight off those urges and not cheat and not have those things. And again, coming back to that mental part of things with the OCR, this is probably worse than OCR mental challenge. This is like everybody's eating food in front of me, and I'm like, oh man, I could really go for a donut right now. It sounds good, you know, but I can't. So the training is grueling. It's, you know, right now I'm 7 days a week. I put in about 6 hours every single day, and that counts for my weightlifting, my cardio, and then my HIIT, and then a cardio again, and then my posing. I have to practice not only for figure and high heels, but I also have to practice for physique and all the mandatory poses and the 60-second routine that I have to do on stage. So that's a lot of stuff to do for one person for the first time, but I like a challenge, and I like the figure part, but I really love the physique, and that's the one that I'm excited to do because I love women who have muscles. I think that it is sexy and powerful, and I'm really excited about the routine that I'm going to be doing. I have a couple song choices, and I'm kind of like a rocker, so I don't want to give it away because that's a secret, but it is something metal. Because that just fits my mentality, and most women, when they get up on stage, it's something soft and beautiful and elegant, is talking about love, and mine is very opposite of that. And
rock on.
I needed something that's gonna pump me up when I get up there. I need to feel the words, I need to feel the music, to get me to hit those poses, so that way I'm on point and I look great.
Okay, I do have to ask: is it 80s metal?
I guess early 90s, I would say.
Early
90s. I'm trying to think of when the album came out. Yeah.
So it's not Pour Some Sugar on Me. Pour Some Sugar on Me was the one I was hoping for, but that was 80s, so.
Oh, no. Actually, you know what, though? The first song that I had, and I changed it to the other songs, because, and I like both of them. It was a remix to Stroke Me by Lance Erbstroker.
Oh. That would have been awesome.
I had two song choices, and that one worked really beautiful too with my movements. But the other song, I'm like, there's something about it that just gets me jacked up, and I feel it every time. So.
Now I want to know what the movements are. If it was Stroke Me, it was going to work really good. But
it was hilarious. And then, yeah, my coaches were like, I gave them all my song choices, and one of them had asked my husband, they're like, so, why did your wife choose these songs? And she's like, I don't know. She's my wife. I don't ask questions.
She's a good husband. He knows how it is.
So, it's a really good song. I like it. I mean, some people probably won't get it, but it resonates to me when I hear the lyrics to it. So.
And I think that's what matters. Is a lot of times you see those. You can tell in like those type of competitions and stuff when the song that's played, if it's something that was picked for them, or if it's something that they picked, because
absolutely, there is a difference.
You can tell.
I watch a couple of shows just to watch it and see the women and get a feel of it, and I can tell when a coach has picked out a song for them and when they picked out their own song.
Yeah.
There's just their energy level is completely different.
Yeah, it's like with anything. I mean, anytime you see where you can tell, it's like, oh yeah, someone picked that for them. They're only playing that song because someone told them they had to.
Correct. So like right now I'm in the final phase. I've got 17 days left to go, and that pretty much means I'm going to assume 1,100 to 900 calories every single day, and I'm burning probably double that. And that's just to get rid of any excess fat and or water around my muscles to really like bring everything in nice and tight. And I'll get one really good meal a couple days before the show to saturate my muscles again, and then it's showtime. So this is when it gets really sucky. Like, I think about food all day long.
Jeez.
Yeah, putting up 900 calories throughout the whole day is not very easy.
Yeah.
Goodness. What's your first meal going to be when you're done?
honestly, it's going to be the same stuff. It's not, you know, everyone talks about these after-show foods, and a lot of times they go and they have, like, a burger, or, you know, they gorge out on, like, Oreo cookies, I guess is a huge thing, I don't know. But I want to make sure that when I'm done with my competition, that I don't destroy my body. I've taken everything out. It's so cleaned out that if I add anything, like, you know, heavy and saturated salt or sugar,
your stomach's not going to be happy with you.
I'm going to pay for it for days. And plus, I am going to be doing a second show 4 weeks later in case I don't do as well as I hoped I would for the first one.
Oh,
so I pretty much stay in a prep mode. And then I do get one treat, though. So I don't know what it's going to be yet. It's going to be something sweet because that's what I've been craving is lots of sugar. So maybe it'd be a Krispy Kreme donut right off the vendor belt when it's still dripping. Or, you know, something. It has to be something worse, the calories.
Now you're making me want a Krispy Kreme donut.
Right? With like some bacon bits on it because that would even be better. Yes. Give me the full breakfast on the donut.
Let's take a quick break while I'm craving donuts, which is just what I need, and go to our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, we're back from break, and I still want a donut. So, do you have more questions, Kim? Or was that the...
We're getting close. You know, there were a couple kind of fun things. Like, I always like to know something about yourself that very few people know. And it can be OCR-related or personal. You know, it doesn't have to be OCR. So something unique or fun. I guess a lot of people... I'm kind of a private person. Even though I'm always on Facebook and I'm always talking with people. But I never really talk to people about, like, what my goals are when it comes to, like, the future stuff, my future endeavors, and where I see myself at, where I see my business at. And what I envision for myself and for other people to be able to enjoy is I would love to be able to have my own gym that is built around OCR training, where it's an indoor-outdoor facility. I would like to buy some property so that way I can take people out and make it about a 3-mile kind of thing and have fun little obstacles they can do, even bring like Beast Wad up to it as well and do a free training out there and just get people excited to get out into nature and get dirty and have a good time and still have a physical gym too where people can come in there and do whatever kind of training they want. They want to do powerlifting, Olympic lifting, I don't care. As long as you want to work out, you can come into my gym. So that's something that I don't really talk about because it's a lot of planning and a lot of designing and things like that. So I kind of keep it hush-hush because I don't want to put so much, I don't want people coming at me all the time about it. I'd rather just figure out how I'm going to make it happen and then start to implement it and then share the love once I figure out how to do it. Yes. Because that's another pressure that I have. that's what I hope for myself, is that I will have a place that I can bring lots of people to and just get them excited to want to be healthy again.
That's awesome.
That's great. So in the next year, what are your goals for 2019?
Powerlifting.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I got to go to my first meet down in Portland and watch one of my trainers, or my posing coach, and a couple of the other girls that go to the gym do a powerlifting meet, and that was such an intense environment. And I mean that in a good way, not a bad way. I mean to see these men and, of course, the women up there just lifting as heavy as they possibly can, and the excitement on their face was just, it was beautiful. I mean, I was like, I could do that. Like, the girls that I would have been in the same class with, I could outlifted them. And I was like, oh my gosh, why am I not doing this? And I'm like, oh, that's right, because I'm really tiny and I can't lift heavy right now. But these women there, gosh, they're so inspiring. And they're cheering each other on, even though that the person next to them is their competitor. They're still cheering. They're holding their breath for them as they're trying to lift the weight up off their chest, you know. And I'm very excited by that. I love empowerment. And I love, like I said, I love strong women and muscles and stuff like that. So next year, I wanna crush some weights. I want to see how hard I can actually go before my body gives out on me and tells me to stop.
I love it. That is an awesome goal. That is really neat. Yep. I love you. You seem to just go out there and whatever you set your mind to, you do it. So
absolutely.
We'll be seeing you powerlifting next year.
Yes. I got to keep things exciting on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, it's always exciting.
Right?
And I've got to say, and I know that, you know, I've mentioned it on your page a lot, but I love to see when you're lifting, your form is absolutely spot on. And I mean, so few people that use that good of form, and I just love seeing that. So, yeah, definitely rocking it.
Yes, thank you.
It's awesome.
Well, that was all the questions I have. So we'll have the write-up, you know, for the next month, and everybody can see that there, a great recap, a little more detail of different parts of it. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Jessica, about your upcoming show or anything else?
That's what I say.
Well, if anyone's interested and they've never been to one of these kind of shows and you want to see some inspirational people, I think it'd be a great opportunity for people to come and just watch. I mean, it might inspire them to do something, not that, but something else. Like, oh my God, look at the older people. I mean, I'm going to be in the higher class because I'm an older lady. But God, they just get up there and they rock it out. So if you're interested, I have my show in Bothell. It's called the Ironman Competition, or there's one that's going to be in Shelton at the Little Creek Casino on November 10th. I mean, it's a great opportunity just to come and watch. I mean, if you don't know anything about it, who cares? Just show up, support people you don't know, and watch these people get on stage and feel good about what they've accomplished, you know? So come on down. I would love to see some friendly faces out there, or people I don't know, and come up to me and say hi anyway.
And the one thing I was going to say is I will make sure I get all the information from you, Jessica, for both of your competitions so that we can put them, links to them, on the link for the podcast so that if anyone does want to go to these events and cheer you on, they know where to go.
Yeah, or just go there and cheer other people on. I mean, it's a cool environment. It's a little long, but it's awesome. I mean, these people work really hard. So, I mean, it's good to see that. And it inspires people.
Yeah. And then the other question that I had before we go is, tell us a little bit about your business. You've mentioned that you do training and you do all that, but tell us a little bit about it.
So it's JM Fitness for Jessica Martin Fitness. Okay, just really simple and basic. I do personal training, but I really emphasize more on small group training. I like the community environment, as I've already said before. So I pretty much teach people of all different backgrounds. It doesn't matter who you are, how heavy you think you are, or how tiny you think you are. I teach them bodybuilding. So I teach them techniques. I get them to feel better about themselves, and I teach especially women to find their beautiful weight, because we're all not the same size. We're not supposed to be the same size. And what one's healthy weight might not be somebody else's. So I pretty much am trying to empower as many women as I possibly can, especially moms, because moms tend to give up and sacrifice, and we forget ourselves for a long time.
Yeah.
So I try to get these women to come in and see that weightlifting, one, is not going to make them big and bulky unless they want to be like me, and then that's completely different, but that weightlifting is going to empower them, and it's going to make them feel beautiful, and it's going to transform their body to what they've hoped it was going to be for all those years. And then getting them excited to try to do things outside. Like, I'm always doing hikes with them. I'm getting them to come to all these Beast OCR events, like, you know, Spartan and stuff like that. I'm getting them out there to do it, and that's what I do. I love working with people, get them in, get them healthy. You know, that's what I'm there for. I'm a tool. Use me. So, yes, that's Stay In Fitness. It's just bodybuilding, weight loss, OCR training, whatever you want, I will help figure out how to get you to that point.
And see, that's awesome. That's one of the things that I think a lot of people have issues with is they think that if you lift weights, if you lift heavy things, you're going to become big and bulky.
Arnold
like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which if you do what you're doing, you know, and a little bit more lifting, I mean, yes, it's possible you could become that way, but
absolutely,
just lifting heavy things just makes you healthier, you know?
I know people like cardio. It's a very big misconception with society.
You got to mix, yeah.
You know, you burn more calories weightlifting, guys.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You don't have to stay on the step climber for an hour and a half. Lift some weights for 45 minutes, and there you go.
Yeah, and I've been, every time I've had a personal trainer, they mix it. They mix in weightlifting and cardio. It's a mix of the two.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
You know,
yeah,
and
I do hits in there. I do all the sucky things like burpees and box jumps and med ball to target. Everything they hate, I figure out what it is, and then I make them do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what's going to make them stronger.
Oh, it is.
It's that mental part.
It is, and that's just it. I mean, it's, I found most of fitness, at least for me, is the mental part. I mean, getting out there and doing it.
It is.
Once you're out there and doing it, it's something completely different. You know, I've mentioned on the podcast a couple times. I've lost twice now where I've lost a bunch of weight to, like, get into physical shape and do good. And both times, it was a mental, getting past the mental part is what finally did it for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's,
yep. And then once you break that down, then you're like, okay, I see it.
Yep.
And I'm doing it. And it's so much better and it's worth it.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at now is I finally figured out I have a plan that I think is going to work. I'm going to start swimming it, you know, 3 times a week and doing, you know, bike and elliptical along with that and some lifting. And I think it'll be good.
It's got to be a balance,
yeah.
Right? Like, it can't just be one or the other. Like, that's what I try to provide is I give everybody a little bit of everything. And sometimes it works for people, at times it doesn't. And I know what things work for certain people. So when we're doing certain things, I'm like, no, you're not doing that. You're going to do this instead. Because they all have different goals. You know, they're all there for different purposes.
Well, and that's just it. Is a good physical trainer makes the program towards the person. You know, you see,
absolutely,
like, a lot of these people do, like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, P90X or this or that or that. It's like, yeah, the videos are good to help you, but they're just kind of a tool that I think should be used with a whole nother workout plan. They get you started, but you really need a physical trainer that's going to say, okay, this is what you need to do to, you know,
sometimes
get to your goal.
They like me. Sometimes my clients like me when I call them out on those things. Other times they hate me because they know they see me walking over and I'm not making eye contact and I can see. But they're like, oh, great, here she comes. And I usually just pick up a heavier weight. And I'll just slowly walk by, and I'll put it right next to them. I just walk away and just keep talking to the other people in the class. And they're like, oh, Jessica.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And sometimes that's what you need.
Sometimes. Yeah, that's what they need, right?
Yeah, it's what you need because you're going to, you know, it sounds bad. You feel like you're going to push yourself, but you're not. You're going to, like, push yourself to the point where you're still comfortable, but you're kind of out of your comfort zone. But not really.
You got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's
it. And I say that all the time.
And a physical trainer is going to push you to that point that you're not comfortable, but you're not.
Exactly. And anytime I hear my people going,
they
know it's a
penalty.
Job.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm doing my job. And then I would tell them if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yep.
It's not meant to be easy. It's meant to push you.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and then they try to get away with eye rolling, and then I give them burpees because there's no eye rolling, and there's no. I do not ever want to hear the words "I can't."
Yep.
They get penalized for that. As soon as I hear that, I'm like, "You know, what you're going to be doing right now."
Yeah.
Because yes, you can.
Yep. There's a couple other people I know like that. If you say the word "I can't," I mean they're like, "Can't" needs to come out of your. It needs to leave your vocabulary. Yeah, just
exactly,
go away.
Exactly, because yes, you can. It just might take you a little bit longer than others.
Yeah.
Yes, you
and
can.
That's like, you know. With Spartan races, I've had so many people that are like, I can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, you can. Let's go. I mean, it's like Washougal. I don't know if you saw Jesse, PNW, Jesse from West Coast Obstacles, his friend Big Tony, that went with us in Washougal. The pictures, there's a picture. This guy stood probably a good foot and a half over me. Had to have been 350, 400 pounds. Just a big guy. And he went through Washougal and he did it. And
I know, it was amazing. And just like Casey, he's out there. He's got no legs. That guy's out there just killing those courses. And so anytime someone tells me they can't do those things, I always find pictures or I bring up people just like Jesse's friend or like Casey. I'm like, excuse me, don't tell me you can't, because these people got there and they did it just fine. And they finished. That's all that matters. They got through that finish line.
And Casey, my favorite thing about Casey's, and I've told this story before, is the first time I ever met Casey was in Seattle. I was at that point where mentally I'm like, I'm done. This is stupid. I don't want to do this anymore. And I can't do this. I can't do this. And I walk around the corner and there's Casey.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I'm a dipshit. Time to go. Every excuse I just went right out the window. So.
Last year, I did a super by myself because none of my friends could come with me. I was like, I'm still doing it. I don't care if I'm by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super, super muddy going up the backside. And I think it was in April again. It was another April one in Seattle. And I was on the backside of the hills, and everybody I knew that was out there was having severe leg cramps because it was just the mud was up to our knees. It was like drunk Disney on ice out there. It was so
bad. That was horrible.
And I was up on this hill, and I was hugging this tree because my calves were literally caving in and out. They were cramping so bad. And all of a sudden, all I hear is, hey, are you okay up there? And I look down, and there's two Marines with no limbs, no bottom half, wearing a face mask, and they're asking me if I'm okay. And I look down, I'm like, my legs are just cramping. And they look up the hill, they look back at me, and they're like, that's your excuse, get up that hill, Spartan. And I just kind of went, okay, and just started walking up the hill. But that's exactly what I needed, right?
Yeah.
And I saw that, and I was like, I just got called out.
Which is good.
You're right. Yeah. I have no excuse right now.
And that's the best part, is you get stuff like that. It's like when I did Hawaii and I had the broken foot, and, you know, my foot's in a boot, and I'm like, I'm doing it anyway.
Yep.
And I'm doing the Atlas ball, the Atlas carry, and I get done, and I'm just walking back, getting ready to set it down, and some guy comes around the corner, and this guy looked like he had been hit by a semi-truck. I mean, he was just destroyed. And he looks at me, he looks down at my foot, and he's like, oh, I guess I have no excuse. And he picks up the Atlas ball and starts going. It's like, okay.
And see, you know what? Right there, you inspired somebody to push them forward.
Yeah.
We all do it unknowingly a lot of times, too, which is why, again, I love OCR.
Oh, yeah.
It's always someone out there that you're inspiring without you knowing, and someone that's inspiring you.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard, you know, I've ran into people even 2 years later that'll look at me and they're like, you were in Hawaii with a boot on your foot, weren't you? And I'm like, yes, I was. And, you know, a couple of people told me that, like, I was ready to quit. And then I saw you, like, gimping along with that foot. And you're just keep going. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I got no excuse. Better keep going, too.
Right?
Yeah. And that's what's great about Spartan is you get that. I mean, it always seems like, you know, in any race, really, any of the OCRs, you get to that point where you're like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like every time someone will come around that corner, and you're like, okay, well, I guess I have no excuse now. Get going.
Yep.
You know.
Exactly.
It'll either be something.
And that people check in on you. They see you stop, and you always have people going, are you okay?
Are you okay? Do you need something?
And sometimes it's all you need to hear is just those little kind words, like, are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
And it snaps you right back out.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we've been talking for a little bit. Did either one of you ladies have anything else you wanted to say before we cut out on this?
I think I've said plenty. I could keep going and going. I appreciate you guys having me on the show, though.
It's awesome, and maybe I might, you know, we'll have to talk and maybe have you back on after the shows and talk about how they went.
Oh, man, yes. You will love to hear all the nitty-gritty stuff that goes on for the show.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. I can't wait to share that.
Oh, yeah. Right on. So, yeah, we'll have to bring you on afterwards and talk about how the show went. Did you have anything else, Kim?
No, I don't think so. Just thank you so much, Jessica. You know, you've done such an amazing job as an ambassador, and we're so proud of you, and, you know, you're just an inspiration to everybody. it was really a lot of fun doing this podcast with you today. Yes, it was. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And good luck. I can't wait to hear about how it goes. Thank you.
All right. And just so all the listeners know, we're going to do this every month. Whoever is going to be on the Beast Report, we're going to bring them in and have a whole podcast about them and talk to them and all that fun stuff. So get used to hearing Kim on here.
There we go.
All right. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.